Today, Shizm Sechtamai Katan Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis of an Aleph on the top of the Amid. Says the Mar Amish Shmuel, Mekabli Kabbalis, people who work on behalf of Kabbalinus. That means that they get a fixed price for the job. If they work B'Toychet Chum, if these are people who work by the contract, they work for the job, and they're non-Jews, but if the house that they're working on is Toichet Chum, within the Chum Shabbos of the city that people are allowed to walk there, they're Osir. The halach is you may not allow them to work on this property on Shabbos. Because since it's within the Chum where Jews may walk, so everybody's going to, people, there are going to be Jews who walk by that property, and people are going to accuse this individual, this Jew who owns this property, that he asked these people to work there on Shabbos. He asked these people to work there on Shabbos, which is cause usur, if it's chutz l'tchum. But if it's an area that Jews will not be there, and the reality is that we did not ask the Akum to work on our behalf, and they aren't working on our behalf, they're not schirim, they're not getting paid by the day. So since they're not getting paid by the day, they are allowed to work because they're doing it for their own purpose. They're getting paid by the job. And there's no concern that anybody is going to accuse them, accuse a Jew of having hired them on such circumstances. And that's why they're allowed to work there. However, the Mishnah Berurah makes a very important point. The Mishnah Berurah says that even though if they're working by the contract, they're not being paid by the day, and we certainly did not tell them to work on our behalf, we could be more lenient, says the Mishnah Berurah. That's only if the contract was written in a way that it's not, that they certainly have to work on Shabbos or Yontif. But if the only way they could fulfill their contractual agreement is by working on Shabbos or Yontif, so it's as if I told this Akum to work for me on Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore it's Asur. Another point that the Achronim and Rishonim make, that the halacha is that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that a person's allowed to give his laundry to an Akum close to Shabbos. And again, it's as we just said in the circumstances, that it's not that the Akum must do this on Shabbos, and the halacha is that it's mutter. Why is that mutter? So there are many explanations given that have a direct impact on the halacha. One answer is that this Gemara is only talking about Avelis. That's not Pasha Peshat in the Gemara, but here we're talking about Avelis, which are stricter, as we spoke about in the previous year. But there's another teretz. When it's something which is obvious that it's bekablonus, then we could be more lenient. In other words, when somebody gives a laundry to a cleaner, so nobody pays the cleaner by the hour, they pay him to wash my garment. And therefore, it's obvious that if he's doing it, he's doing it on my behalf. He's not doing it on my behalf. He's not doing it in my direction. But when it comes to paying for, when it comes to building a home, some people build a home indeed with a paying the person a contract fee. This is the fee that I'm paying you for the job. But there are some that pay not by the for the by a contract. They're paying by the hour. They're paying by the day. And since it's not obvious under what circumstances this contract was written, that's why in a case where it's not clear how this person is getting paid, and it's in a place where other Jews will see that this Nochri is working on my behalf, that's why we have to be stricter. Continues the Gemara. Amra Papa, v'afilam chutz l'tchum. Even when we're lenient, chutz l'tchum, lo'imaran el deleka demosdim karva hasam. There is no city close to that place. Even though nobody from our city could get there, but there's people from other cities that could get to that location. And since there are people from other locations that could get to that city, and there are Jews that could get to that location, we have to be concerned. However, says the Magen Avraham, if there are no Jews in that other location, so the concern that we just mentioned doesn't exist, but says the Magen Avraham, what happens if there may be guests that arrive to that location that is close to the building site, and those guests are Jewish? Do we have to be concerned that that may happen? So the Magen Avraham says that far we don't have to be concerned. We only have to be concerned, as the Gemara states, if there are Jews that live within walking distance of that location. Then we have to be concerned that they're going to walk by that location and see people working on my building on Shabbos Yontif. That's what Chazal will machmer. But to be concerned that something might happen, that far we don't have to be concerned. Says the Gemara further, Ara Mashasha, V'ki leka masna mekarba hasam, nami loyamorin, el b'Shabbos v'yom tovim. As we just said, on Shabbos Yontif, there is no way that another Jew will get there. Where we're not limited in our travel, therefore, there's a real concern where people may end up there. Therefore, usher, we have to be stricter. Says the Gemara, Mab Zuchaburei Rav Nachman Barnalei Afanbla. They bought him. He had a non-Jewish contractor who was being paid by Kabli Kabbalis, who was being paid by the contract, built him a home, b'chutz l'tchum. Ikla Rav Safra, Rav Huna Bachinana, v'loi olu l'gabei. One time Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bachinana came to that home, and they refused to enter it, because they felt that that home was built improperly. V'ikadamri, hu nami loi al b'gabei. Not only did they not go in, but he himself realized that he shouldn't have gone in. And the way the Rishonim discussed this, there's a fundamental question. We know, for example, if somebody cooks on Shabbos in a prohibited manner, so how long are you not allowed to eat the food? Sometimes you can't eat the food forever. Sometimes you have to wait Motzei Shabbos, b'chdei shiyasu, the main time that it would take to cook that food. Here, they explain that either he felt that if it was built be'isser, one may never enter the home. Others say, if it was built in such a fashion, but it was built by Nachrim, we don't have to prohibit entering that home forever. But here, the reason he was machmer is because he actually participated in the building of the home. He was the one that gave the material. And since he was more involved, that's why he was machmer. Ask the Gemara, v'amishmul kabli kabbalas b'toychet chum osur chutz l'tchum mutter. And this home was built chutz l'tchum. And we've been learning for our entire shiur today that chutz l'tchum is not an issue. Answers the Gemara, adam chashuv shani. He was an adam chashuv, and since he was an adam chashuv, a person whose Adam Chashev has to be stricter with himself than anyone else. And even something that isn't really an Aveira, he shouldn't do something that people can misinterpret. Ikadamri, a different version, is Mesiyur B'Sai B'Tivna B'Adayu. He gave the materials. And since they took the materials from his warehouse, therefore he is more machmer. And the Meiri says that both of these terutzim should be considered lahalocha. A, if a person is adam choshev, he has to be careful in any of these types of shailas. A, and B, even if it's not an adam choshev, but our entire Gemara has been based on the fact that it's bekablonis, that the person who's building the house, the contractor is getting paid by the contract, he's not getting paid by the day, by the hour. But if I, the Jew, in any way participated, as the Now Gemara just said, it was my raw materials that were used to build a house, then we have to be more machmer. Says the Gemara, Rav Chama Sharlei Levungei de Beresh Golasu. Rav Chama allowed the people who would set up the tables in the home of Resh Golusa, L'mavir avudate b'chol demoyed, to do whatever they did on Chol HaMoed. And he allowed them to fix tables that were broken in Chol HaMoed. Amar, he said, Kivin de agar lo kashakli. These people don't get paid for their work. The only thing that they get is the shirush should come sharshalay. The only thing that they get is that they don't have to buy meals because they eat at the home of the Resh Galusa. So they're not considered like people who are getting paid for their job. They're considered like people who only get a gift. And there is no isser for such people to work on Chol HaMoed. They're similar to the Kabbalah Kabbalists. When is there an isser on Chol HaMoed for a worker to work? That's when the worker is getting paid. Here, he's not getting paid. And since they're not getting paid, that's why we can be more lenient. Others say the reason he was lenient is not because they weren't getting paid. Because any type of work we know has to be avoided in Chol HaMoed. Rather, they explained that these workers were non-Jews. So even if you have non-Jewish workers, you still have to be concerned about keeping your business open on Chol HaMoed. But here, since they were not getting paid and they're not Jewish, when we combined these situation, that's why we could be lenient. But the Meiri adds one more condition. The Meiri says that just because they were non-Jewish and they weren't getting paid is not enough to be lenient. Because the Meiri points out that we need to be, people don't know. We've been discussing this over and over in our shiurim. People don't know that they're not getting paid. And therefore, says the Meiri, an important part of the discussion in this Gemara is that everybody knew that these workers don't get paid. And since it was well known that these workers don't get paid, that's why we can be more lenient. Tana Rabbanim, Mekabel Kabbalos, we're allowed to enter in such a contract, B'moed and Chol HaMoed, with the condition L'asos L'achamoed, that do it, that they're going to do the job after Yontif. However, B'moed, if the deal was that they could begin working on Chol HaMoed, then it's Asr. And says the Gemara, Klal Shadova, the Gemara sets forth a rule. Anything that I'm allowed to do, I'm allowed to hire a Nachri to do on my behalf. However, anything that I myself may not do, I'm not allowed to have a Nachri do on my behalf. However, the Rishonim make a distinction. This rule that our Gemara just set forth, that if I may not do it, I may not hire an Achri to do it, is only when we speak about Melacha. But there are different types of activities that we've been discussing in our Masechta that are not really Melacha, but they're more in the category of Tircha, or they're in the category of the Dechol. Those types of activities, even though a Jew can't do them on Chol HaMoed, he may ask a Nachri to do it on Chol HaMoed. Moreover, even as we've been learning and will learn, that there are certain malachas that a Jew is allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, but he's only allowed to do it b'tzina, the same malacha applies by a Nachri. We don't say, well, since the worker is a Nachri, we don't have to be so strict and only allow him to do the malacha b'tzina. B'tzina, he may be allowed to do it b'feresya. The halacha is that they can even do it b'feresya. Tanya idach, says Gemara, another b'raisa, mekabli kabbalis, b'moyed, if somebody got a job to do it on Chol HaMoed and the contract to b'kabloinus, l'soysoy l'achamoyed, the contract can be written that it may be done after Chol HaMoed. When the job is contracted out, you have to be careful to not do it in all of the detail as normally contracts are written. And the reason is because Chazal said, Mimtzachevtzcha v'davedover means that on Shabbos we're not allowed to talk like we talk during the week. We're not allowed to talk about business on Shabbos. And the same halacha, our Gemara seems to be saying, applies to contracting on Shabbos, that we should, on Chol HaMoed, that we shouldn't lose the respect for Chol HaMoed. But then I saw that there are other Rishonim that say the reason we can't allow a Nachri to do these things on our behalf on Yontif is because Shluchah Shladim Kamaisai. So by having the Nachri do these activities on our behalf, it's as if we're doing it ourselves. So ask the Pnei Yeshua that we know that Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira. Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira means that if I ask somebody to do something on my behalf, which is an Aveira, it's not considered as if he was my Shliach. Because the Gemara says, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. Why should he have followed my instructions if Hashem says he shouldn't do it? Says the Pnei Yeshua, here we can't apply that concept. Because he's not Jewish. So he doesn't have the concept of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Mishomim applicable. And therefore, he becomes my Shliach. The Chasam Sofer takes a different approach. He says, when the Gemara says, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, or the Gemara says, Ein Shlichus La'achkum, it doesn't mean that, it means that it's not considered in the halacha, even though normally the halacha is Shlucha Shaladim Kamaisai, that if a Shlich does something on my behalf, it's as if I did it myself. By Dvar Aveira, it's not considered that as if I did it. But it doesn't change the reality that I ask somebody to do something that should not have been done. And therefore, the halacha is that even though he's a Nachri, we can't ask him to do this on Chol HaMoed. Tarabonin, Eimar Bein Behema, we don't cause an animal to mate on Chol HaMoed. Kiyotzba, Eimar Bein Bechor. The halacha is that the Torah says, regarding the Bechor, the firstborn male animal, the Torah says, we have to be careful not to work with the animal that's a bechor. Causing the animal to mate is considered doing work with that animal. Similarly, an animal that was hegdish and developed a mum and then was redeemed still has a certain level of kedusha. The level of Kedusha has, as we're going to learn when we learn the Kachim Masechtas, is one is not allowed to work with that animal. And therefore, such an animal, which is in the category of Psula Mekdashim, we're not allowed to cause that animal to mate. Tanya Idach, Eimar Bein Behaim B'chal Shamoid, we're not allowed to cause an animal to mate in Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Eimar, Chamayra Shetova, if there's a female donkey that wants to mate, we may cause it to mate, because if we don't have it mate, it'll be complicated to have it mate later on. Other animals, we may not cause them to mate. However, we could take the animal into a barn where there are other animals, and if the animal mates on its own, that is not an issue. Tarabonim, Eimedainim. We're not allowed to cause that animal should be enter into a field on Shabbos, and when they enter the field on Shabbos, they're going to express waste. And Chazal said that we may not do so because it looks like by causing that to happen, it looks like we're fertilizing the field on Shabbos. And even though we're not actually doing the act of fertilization, it looks like we're doing the act of fertilization, and therefore we shouldn't do it on Chol HaMoed. But if non-Jewish workers came, mutter, they may do it so. However, we don't help them. We don't in any way participate that somebody should help them. That means, let's say these non-Jewish workers, work in my field, but they have different animals of their own that need to be watched. I'm not allowed to watch those animals. Because by me watching those animals or doing anything else to help them do what they're doing, that means I'm participating and they're working on Chol HaMoed, which is Asur. How is Schir Shabbos? If a Nachri was hired by a Jew to work for the week, Schir Chodesh was hired for the month, Schir Shana is hired by the year, Schir Shava, Shvu is hired for 7 years, Messiah some, we're allowed to help them, or Moslem Shalonas Tsunam. Because since they were hired, and not only were they hired, but they were hired for a very long time period. The fact that they were hired for a long time period, it's clear that they're working, they're not working on the Jews' behalf, they're working on their own behalf. And therefore, we could be more lenient. Rabbi Omer, b'Shabbos, b'Toiva. We're allowed to, when they come to work on Shabbos, I could tell them thank you, but I can't pay them. B'Yontif, what I could do is b'Mazoinus. On Yontif, I could give them actually food. B'Moyid, on Cholamoyid, b'Schar, Omer of Yosef, and I could pay them. And Omer of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, the Halacha is like Rebbe. So the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara, Rebbe is disagreeing. It said that you're not allowed to help the Akum, even if they came on their own. And Rebbe says, well, it really depends, as we just learned, on Shabbos, Yontif, Chol HaMoed. However, the Rishonim point out that the Gemara says that on Yontif, we're allowed to give them to eat. But there's a question that even though, as we learned in Masechta Beya, that Oichel Nefesh, we're allowed to prepare food on Yontif, we're not allowed to prepare food on Yontif to give to a Nachri. So how can we feed them on Yontif? And that's why many Rishonim explain that when the Gemara says we're allowed to give them food, it doesn't mean to give them food on Yontif. It means food for after Yontif. But then there are other Rishonim that say that what's happening here is it's talking about somebody's servants. They're in the category of somebody's servants. And there are Rishonim that want to suggest that even though we're not allowed to cook on behalf of a Nachri on Yontif, if the Nachri lives with us, our servant, our maid, it may be more lenient. And maybe this case, these people are in the same category. Our Mishnah continues to discuss the concept of Dover Ovid. In the way grapes were pressed in those times, they used to put the grapes into a pit, and from there the grapes would roll down, and there and would be pressed, and then they would be put into barrels. Says the Mishnah, Kain, mi shayayin b'techabar, if somebody's wine was already in the pit, vira evil, and Rachmal Tzlan, he became an oval, and as we discussed extensively in our previous shir, an oval is not allowed to do malacha. Oi, oinus, or something beyond his control happened that he couldn't finish doing the processing of the wine before Yontif. Oi, shepetua, he hired workers to do the work, and they didn't come before Chol HaMoed. They didn't come from before Yontif. And if he's going to leave the wine that way over Yontif, the wine will get ruined. Zoyla for Goyrim. The halach is he could complete the processing of the wine. For Goff, and not only is he allowed to finish the processing of the wine and put the wine into barrels, he's even allowed to seal those barrels to Darkoi the same way as he seals them all year round. Because if you don't seal them properly, Divrei Rabbi Yossi holds, if you won't seal them properly, the wine will get ruined. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oisle Lemudim, you're allowed to cover the wine, B'shvil Shlo Yachmetz, that it shouldn't get sour, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do it in the normal fashion. Tosis points out that even though in the previous Mishnah, when we had a Machloikus, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was mentioned first, and here we're mentioning the opinion of Rabbi Yossi first. So Tosfos says that since in the previous Mishnah, the last opinion we learned was the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, in this Mishnah we pick up again with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And perhaps the explanation and understanding what Tosfos means to say is, as we know, in those days they learned Torah Shebaal Peh. And since they learned Torah Shebaal Peh, they wrote the Mishnayos in a way that it should be easier to remember. Rabbi Yehuda said we're only allowed to do limudim. One is that you're only allowed to take one pshat that Rashi suggests is that you're only allowed to take boards to cover up the wine. Another pshat is that it was some sort of a temporary lid. And since it's only a temporary lid, that's the only time Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. V'tzricha. So says the Gemara, we had a Mishnah in our previous year that spoke about the machloikis of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda in the production of oil, and our Mishnah had a similar machloikis in the production of wine. And the question of the Gemara is, why do we have to have the same machloikis two times? Says the Gemara Tzricha. The Yashmina Kamaisa, if we only would have had the subject of oil, by he come Reb Yossi, that's where Reb Yossi was lenient. Mishun the Mishcha Nefesh Pseida. When we speak about oil, olive oil was very expensive, and therefore the loss is significant, and that's why he's more lenient. Avil chemra, the loy nafish pseida. Wine wasn't that expensive, and the loss at question is not that significant. Maybe ema moidel Reb Yehuda, he'll agree to be lenient like Reb Yehuda says. V'yashmina basriyasa, if we only had our Mishnah that speaks about wine, we would think by he am Reb Yehuda. That's where Reb Yehuda is strict. Abhach, when we speak about oil, Ema Meidler Reb Yossi, that we could be lenient because it's considerable loss. That's why Tzricha, we had to have both Mishnayos. So I saw that the Rishash points out, it's not that oil is necessarily more expensive than wine, but rather, says the Rishash, what it means is the oil is quicker to spoil than wine. And since oil is quicker to spoil than wine, that's why we have to be more concerned maybe by oil than by wine. Amar Rav Yitzchak, man tana, shinui b'moy dover ovid deloy. Who is the tana that says that when we have a situation of a dover ovid, a chalamoyid, we don't have to do a shinui? Says the Gemara, that we have to do a shinui, the like Reb Yossi. It's not the opinion of Reb Yossi, because as we've been learning, Reb Yossi's opinion is that when we have a situation of Dover Ovid, we could be lenient. But in quote says the Gemara, Amar Reb Yossi, Haloch Reb Yossi. The halacha is like Reb Yossi. So some explain, because whenever we have a machlokes, Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi, we follow the opinion of Reb Yossi. Others say that's not because we always follow the opinion of Reb Yossi. However, when it comes to Dover Ovid and Chol HaMoed, that's where Chazal were more lenient. Boimine, Miram Nachman Yitzchak, Ma'alameisha Chavita de Shikr B'Chol HaMoed. Are we allowed to plaster on a barrel of beer on Chol HaMoed? Amalai Sinai, Reb Nachman Yitzchak said that Sinai, Reb Yosef, who was known as Sinai, because he was a tremendous baki, he knew many brises and mishnayos, told us just now that the halachas Reb Yosi. And since the halachas Reb Yosi, and it's a question of a dover ovid, that's why we could be more lenient. Ask the Gemara, Hamadam Reb Yosi, where do we find that Reb Yosi was lenient? Bechamra, by wine, as we just learned in our Mishnah. But ask the Gemara, B'shichra mi'amar, do we ever find that he was lenient by beer? Says the Gemara, said Rav Nachman, Chamre tamamai, why was he lenient by wine? Mishun nafesh p'seida, because he's concerned for the considerable loss. Says the Gemara, Shichra nami ispe p'seida. If that's his concern, by beer, he has a similar concern. Da'am abaya, amrele aim, my mother, and throughout Shas, when Abaye says Amalei Aim, it actually doesn't mean his mother. It means the person that raised him, the nurse that raised him. Because Abaye was actually a Yosim from when he was born. In fact, the word Abaye stands for Ashebcha Yerucham Yosim. So Aim means the nurse who raised him. Ba Shitsavi, that if you have a small vessel that it can hold six saw, Vishaya, but it's properly blasted, it's properly insulated, Mibar Tamni is more valuable than you have a larger vessel, Veloy Shaya. Beer kept in a vessel that is not properly insulated, there we have to be concerned. So I saw that the Achronim point out that we're going to learn that when it comes to Hilchus Chol HaMoed, the Hilchus Akuras, the Gemara says, we can't compare one situation to another situation. So the question is, how does our Gemara say that just because we're lenient by wine, we should also be lenient by beer? We can't compare, in Hilchus Chol HaMoed, we cannot compare situations. So the Achronim say that even though we can't easily compare situations when it comes to Chol HaMoed, when the situations are identical, Of course, we could learn the halacha by one situation from another situation. And therefore, they say the situation here, where we're talking about the sealing of a barrel, of a vessel, is the exact same. And therefore, the halacha is, the Gemara suggests that we should be able to learn one from the other, unless, as the Gemara says, there may be differences. So it's a very interesting discussion in the Paiskim. Our Gemara just said that we Paskin like Reb Yossi, that whenever we have a Dover Ovid, we could be lenient. And not only could we be lenient, we don't even have to do it with a Shinui. The question is, what happens if there's a Suffolk? If there's a question, if the situation we're facing is a Dover Ovid or not. So it should seem that it should be connected to a discussion that we've been mentioning from when we began the Masechta. From when we began the Masechta, we've been discussing is the Isser to do Melach and Chol HaMoed, an Isser Daraisa and Isser Darabanan. So if we're going to say Melach and Chol HaMoed is an Isser Daraisa, so then we'll say Sofik Daraisa L'chumra. On the other hand, we're going to say that the Isser to do Melach and Chol HaMoed is an Isser Darabanan, so then Sofik Darabanan L'kula. And in fact, I saw the Shailos HaTshuvos, Chur Shai, wants to say that if you are an individual that doesn't put on tefillin and Chol HaMoed, obviously you consider Chol HaMoed a yontif. And since you consider Chol HaMoed a yontif deraisa, otherwise why wouldn't you put on tefillin? So there you should be machmer when it comes to a sofik on Chol HaMoed. But the Bir Halacha and other achronim take a different situation. They say that it depends what type of a suffix it is. There's something that comes up often, and something that's called a suffix hamotsui. There he says we could be more lenient. Suffix she'ena motsui, something that where it's not so obvious, we should be machmer. There are other achronim that suggest the way to look at such a situation is by if it's going to be done with sinna, a concept that we've discussed previously, where the issue, what we're going to do is going to be done with sinna, we could be more lenient. However, when it's going to be done before Esya, publicly, we have to be more machmer. Because apparently, an important factor in all of these halachas about doing work of Chol HaMoed is the concept of zilzal, of not treating the yontif with the proper respect. And therefore, when the malach is being done but sinner, we could be more lenient. Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav, as we just discussed, when we speak about the halachas of doing malach and Chol HaMoed, they're like halachas kutim. We know that throughout Shas, there's a discussion if the kutim are considered geri emes and they're full-fledged Jews, or they're not considered full-fledged Jews. And the halacha is that there are different ways that we treat the kutim in different situations. Certain mitzvahs they were more medactic on, they were more careful, certain less. And says the Gemara, we compare the halachas of Chol HaMoed to halachas kutim. Ask the Gemara, l'may hilchsa, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Amar of Daniel Bakatina, loima, hein hein akuris. They're like a woman that doesn't have children, and you can't, that doesn't bear fruit, that doesn't bear children. Here too, each situation is a unique situation. And since each halacha is a unique situation, we can't compare, as we just mentioned, one halacha to another halacha. And the Gemara gives an example. Damashmul, zoifsim ksusa. We'll have to put tar on a small vessel that's used to hold wine, because we're concerned that if we won't do so, the wine will get ruined. Vein zoifsim chavita. But we're not allowed to put the tar on a big barrel of wine, even though the wine is going to get ruined. Rav Dimi ben Adama, just the opposite. Zoifsim chavita, a large barrel, maybe you may put tar on. Vein zoifsim kuzusa, we're not allowed to put tar on a small barrel. What's the basis of their machlokes? Mar, Rav Dimi is more concerned for pseida, for the loss. And since by a large barrel, there's a more of a dover of it, that's why that's his consideration. Shmuel's consideration, Mar, his consideration is for the tircha. So on a small keli, there isn't that much of a tircha, and that's why he's lenient. On a large vessel, there's a larger tircha, and that's why we have to be more machmer. And actually, as the Rishonim point out, we learned that from the beginning of the Masechta. In the first Mishnah of the Masechta, we learned about different activities in working on the field that are mutar or asur, and a very significant consideration was, is it a tircha or not? Amar Abaya, Naktinon. Abaya sets forth the following rule. Hilchas Moed Kilchas Shabbos. When we think about working on Chol HaMoed, we could think about them like Hilchas Shabbos. Yesh mehem, in certain times on Shabbos, when somebody does a melacha, it's pot avol asur. Yesh mehem, and sometimes what you're doing on Chol HaMoed is mutar l'chatchila. On Shabbos is mutar l'chatchila. Same thing when we think about Chol HaMoed, sometimes it may be asur, totally asur, and sometimes it's less asur. But then I saw a different pshat, because the Rishonim point out that there is no malchus for doing melacha on Chol HaMoed. So the comparison to Shabbos is difficult to understand. And therefore they explain that just like when somebody learns Hilchos Shabbos, so a very important part of learning Hilchos Shabbos is understanding there are different degrees of things being asur and wider asur. Same when we talk about Hilchos Chol HaMoed, there are different degrees. Some activities may be totally permissible in Chol HaMoed, some may be preferable not to be done, and some may never be done. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna chotzei chatzta b'ma'ada. Rav Huna, they cut the grain from his field on Chol HaMoed. Eisu Rabbi Rav Huna, Rav Huna, so his son Rabba asked him, we learned in the Braisa, Teuchnin, Kemach b'ma'ed, we'll add a grind flour on Chol HaMoed, if he needs Letzor HaMoed, if he needs the flour for Yontif, V'shloi Letzor HaMoed, but if he doesn't need it for Chol HaMoed or Yontif, it's Osir. Dover Shavu B'Moed, if you have a situation of a Dover Ovid, Mota Lasos B'Moed. Dover She'en HaMoed, Dover She'en Ovid, but if it's not a situation of a Dover Ovid, then the Aloch is its Osir. Continues the Braisa, B'medvar Mamurim, B'Telushim and Akarka, where can we be lenient by Dover Ovid, by something which is detached from the ground? Ava Mechubel Karka, but if it's still attached to the ground, there we have to be stricter. Afilu Kula Ovid, even in a circumstance that if we won't do this activity, we're going to lose it, the Aloch is Osir. We see, anyway, Mayachal, but continues the Braisa, if we're dealing with a situation that somebody doesn't have what to eat, and therefore he needs this food to eat. However, the Rambam points out, if he could buy food in the store, but he would prefer his own, that's also considered Ein Loy Mayoichel. Other Rishonim disagrees, and other Rishonim say that if you could find food, even though it's not your grain, you have no right to work on it on Chol HaMoed. Ein Loy Mayoichel, but if you're in the category of Ein Loy Mayoichel, then the halacha is, Kaitzer, you could cut the grain, or Ma'amer, you could put it into stacks, V'dosh, you could, V'zayra, you could winnow it, V'bayra, you could pick it, V'taychen, and you could grind it, or V'atchla yada b'paris. You should do it with a stick, not with animals. So the question was, how did Rava ask his father, you, Baruch Hashem, a very wealthy man. So you're certainly not in the category of an individual who's Ein Loy Mayoichel. So how did you allow, as the Gemara says, to cut the grain on Chol HaMoed? Amalei, so he said to him, this braisa that takes this strict approach, Yechidahi, represents the opinion of just one Tana, V'loy Sfir Leikavasei, and I don't agree with that opinion. The Tanya, Klal Amar Rav Shimon Gamaliel Meshum Rav Yosi, Dova Atos Mekarka, if something is detached, I feel like tzasa ovid, even if it's not completely a dover ovid, the halacha is mutter. We could grind, we could work with it a Chol HaMoed. But if it's mechubel karka, I feel like kovel ovid osur. So we see is this was said in the name of Reb Yossi. The Chachamim disagree, and I follow the opinion of the Chachamim that if it's a category of a dover ovid, then we could always be lenient. Ask the Gemara, the Rabbi Yossi, but ask the Gemara if this Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, why did he allow him to use animals? Why did he disallow him to use animals? Yodish Paparis. Because Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, Man Tana, as we've been saying throughout, Rabbi Yossi is the Tana that is very lenient by Dover Ovid. And he says, Shina b'mayid b'dover Ovid, that if the opinion that says that you have to do a Shina by Dover Ovid is not like Rabbi Yossi, so why can't he even use animals? Amalai, so Rav Huna responded, this, indeed, Rabbi Yossi does not require a Shina b'dover Ovid. Hachanami, kiven the kol yom alav b'paras daishi, since this person normally does not use animals to process the grain, so ha'idna nami, doing it without animals on Chol HaMoed is not considered a shinui. And since if you'll use animals and it's not what you always do, it's going to make noise. And that's, as we keep on repeating, causing that there should be a disrespect to Chol HaMoed. That's why we could process it in a normal fashion, but try to avoid a zilzil of Chol HaMoed. So it comes out that according to the Chachamim, when it's a situation of Dover Ovid, we could even do something with grain that's Mechubel Karka. Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that if it's Mechubel, we have to be strict. When it's detached, we don't even have to use a Shinui. But, of course, there's another heter, even by Mechubel Karka, according to Rabbi Yossi, if the individual is an individual, she'en lo ma she'yoichel, he doesn't have what to eat. Tanra Rabbanan, Toichta Memoid L'Tzorich Hamoid. We're allowed to grind flour of Chol HaMoed, the Tzorich HaMoed, the Shloi L'Tzorich HaMoed, but if it's not on behalf of Chol HaMoed or Yontif, Osir may not done. Vim Teichem V'Hosir, but if he ground and he has leftover, the halacha is Mutter. Similarly, Kaitzen Eitzen B'Tzorich L'Tzorich HaMoed, we're allowed to chop wood on Chol HaMoed if the purpose of chopping the wood is for Yontif, kites and eitzim and moid l'tzorich hamoid, v'shloi l'tzorich hamoid, but if it's not l'tzorich hamoid, it's osur. Vim katzitz, if you cut wood under the assumption that you need the wood for Yontif, and now for hoisa you have leftover wood, hareza mutter. Metil and sheichem and moid l'tzorich hamoid, one is allowed to prepare beer on chol moid l'tzorich hamoid, v'shloi l'tzorich hamoid osur, however, mehitel v'heiser, hareza mutter, uvachlo yarim, everything that you're allowed to do, you're allowed to do as long as you don't cheat and say, I'm doing it because I need it, when you know you really don't need it. And as we mentioned in our previous year, the Magen Avraham says, these cases that we're discussing in the Gemara now are different than the case that we spoke about somebody catching fish. Because when we speak about fish, every fish is a different type of a fish. And since every fish is different, so I may like the other fish more than this fish. But flour is flour, and wood is wood. And therefore, maybe we ought to be machmer. Teaches us the Gemara. As long as you didn't do haroma, if you have leftovers, it's fine. Ask the Gemara. Vermini. But the Braisa teaches us, Matil and Shechem and Moil Tzorech Amoid, Vishloy Tzorech Amoid Osir. Echet Shechem and Tmarim, whether it's date beer, Vechet Shechem and Sarim, or it's barley beer. Vafashayeshloy Yoshin. If even though he has older beer, Ma'arim, he could say, I want to drink Shoysim and Achadish. So we see that you're allowed to do Haroma, says the Gemara Tanaihi. This question is actually Machloikas Tanoim, the Tanya. The halacha is that if a barrel broke on Shabbos, and the halacha is that under only certain circumstances, as the Gemara Masechta Shabbos teaches us, are you allowed to save that wine? But the Gemara says that you could go, are you allowed to invite guests? And by inviting guests, you'll need more wine. Are you allowed to say, I'm going to invite guests all of a sudden to need the wine? The Tanakam said, Eimarimim kach. Rabbi Yosef Yehudai Marimim were allowed to do so. So here too, this question of Haroma is the same question as it is there. And again, the Ritva points out that, of course, we always want to avoid a haroma. It's only here where there is an element of eichel nefesh, that I want to eat this food, that we could be a little more lenient. Says the Gemara, Rav chotzel chatzta b'chol moed. They cut Rav's grain on chol moed. Shama Shmuel vikbit. And Shmuel was upset, even though it was a dover of it. Asked the Gemara, Leim Shmuel ki chidos firlei. So as we mentioned before, this is actually the subject of Machloikis Rav Yossi Nechamim. Ask the Gemara, does that mean that Shmuel follows the opinion of Yossi, not the opinion of the Chachamim? Says the Gemara, loy. Chatz to the chiti hava, the lever pasad. It wasn't a situation of a dover of it. And that's why Shmuel was strict. Says the Gemara, if it wasn't a situation of a dover of it, so now the question is, Rav my time of it hachi. Why did Rav take the strict, lenient approach? Answers the Gemara, ain't loy ma. The reason Rav was lenient isn't because it was a dover of it, but it's the other point that we made earlier. He was in the category of Ein Loi Ma'yoichel, and a person that Ein Loi Ma'yoichel, we could be lenient. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Shmuel, why was Shmuel upset? One is Loisai Mekamai. One explanation is that they did not tell him that Rav was in a category of Ein Loi Ma'yoichel. Inami, Adam Choshev Shani. Rav was an Adam Choshev, and when we speak about an Adam Choshev, he has to be stricter. And we see the similar, says the Gemara, Rav Yudin Nasiya Nofek B'chumr Sodom Dosha. He walked out wearing on his finger a signet ring. Ishti Mayid Achim Kfeil Amroi. And the other thing Rav Yudin Nasi did, he drank water that was cooked by a Nochri. Shama Rav Ami Benekvid. Rav Ami was upset. So the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun Tes discusses wearing different types of garments, different types of rings on Shabbos. And the concern is that we're not allowed to wear these different types of tachshitim because we're concerned that you're going to walk out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and take them off and carry them on Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef. So now the Gemara explains, my tamei ikbid, why was Rav Ami upset Rav Yehuda Anasi? If you're going to say because it wasn't a tachshit, says the Gemara, Hatanya, have we not learned in a brisa, Shirma and Zon v'tabos, all these different types of rings, Harenka kolad kelim, Hanatarim b'chotzer, that we're allowed to wear them. So here, they're a keli, and why shouldn't he be allowed to wear them? The Mishum d'ishtamayim d'ochim, and if he was concerned that he drank water cooked by a nochri, and therefore there's a concern of bishul akum, says the Gemara, "Amishmuv by Yitzchak Amarav, kol shanach k'may shulchai, anything that could be eaten raw, ain't by mishum bishulay nachrim." So water, of course, we could drink water without cooking it. So why is there concern of bishul nachri? Says the Gemara, indeed, that wasn't the concern. The concern was because Adam Choshev Shani, he was Adam Choshev. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim. Is milk considered something that's Nechel Kamay Shuchai? Because milk, we all drink milk only if it's pasteurized. Nobody drinks milk that's not pasteurized. So could we consider milk that something that's Nechel Kamay Shuchai? So there's some Paiskim that take the lenient approach, and they say that milk can technically be consumed without cooking it, without pasteurizing. It's enough to make a Nechel Mashuchai. That's the opinion of the Marsham. The Mechitz Yitzchak, however, in Chelik Yod Simon Samach Zayin, is concerned about that. He says that nobody drinks nowadays milk if it's not pasteurized. So why can we drink milk if the pasteurizer, which is cooking the milk, is not turned on by a Jew? So one explanation he gives is he gives a number of heterim. One is that it's not cooked in a traditional fashion. It's cooked with steam. And something that's cooked with steam, not cooked on the fire, where there are many paiskim that say that isn't a situation of bishul akum. Another point he makes is that there are opinions that say that the issur of bishul akum doesn't apply to something made in a factory. This bishul akum is only when it was cooked by the nochri in the privacy of his home. Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rav, Kaitetz Adam Dek L'Moyed, a person could cut off a tree in Chol Moed, Abishen Tzarech El Nesar Shaloi, even though he only needs the sawdust. Layet El Abaya. Abaya said that that's wrong. He cursed anybody who cut a tree in Chol Moed just with that just with the consideration that he needed the sawdust. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Havale Iba Vishleina. Rav Ashi had a forest in a place called Shayina. Oslo Mixiv Chaldamoid. And he went to cut the trees from the forest down to Chaldamoid, even though he only needed the sawdust. Amalei Rav Shela Mishleina Rav Ashi Ma Datach. Why are you doing so? The Kamar of Chananel Marav. Kaitzus Adam Deklamoid Apishen Tzarech on the Sarishaloi. You're allowed to cut it even though you only need the sawdust. But ask the Gemara, how could you rely on that? V'alayit Abaya. Abaya said that whoever does that, he curses such an individual. Amalei Lashmili. Klemalei Sfirli. I don't agree with him. But says the Gemara, Ishtemet Nargo, when he came to cut down the trees, what happened was the saw disconnected from the handle, and Boy Lamiskil Shake, and his foot almost got cut. Shafkiv Hadvasa. So he realized that he should not have done it. He should have been concerned about what Abai said, and he just stopped cutting and went home. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Shor Lameka Kitna, he allowed them to pull out Katna Cholamoid, Ulamekta Kashusa, and he allowed them to cut the vegetable called Kshusa, Ulameka Shimshmi, and to pick up sesame seeds. Amalei Baile Rav Yosef Bishlam Kitna L'chfifa. We could use that material on Cholamoid. Kshusha, Chazal Shikra. We could use the haps to make beer. El Shimshmi, why are you being lenient with the sesame seeds? Lamai Chazi. So he answered, Chazil and Nazaid Isbay. There are seeds in them, and you can make sesame oil from them in Cholamoid. Says the Gemara, Rav Yohanan Havalei Obedeisa. Rav Yohanan owned a vineyard. The Mata Zimna B'Cholamoid. The time to cut off the trees, the fruit from the tree, they got ripe, and the time to cut them was a Cholamoid. Katfe. And he cut down. Lacha Shana Shur Kalam L'Pedis L'Cholamoid. The next year, everybody started cutting their vineyards on Cholamoid, their orchards on Cholamoid. After Rav Yanai lepadusa hushata. At that point, Rav Yanai made all of his fruits hefker because he saw that by him doing what he did, even though what he did was technically permissible, it caused that people should start mistreating Cholamoid. As we've spoken many times, mechavin melachto lecholamoid, trying to set up that you should do something deliberately on Cholamoid is certainly usur, and that's why next year he was felt guilty that he had caused such a situation, and that's why he was mafker all of his payers from that orchard.